I'm just the wind in the trees, the shadow and the fright, the echo in the leaves, the nightmare in the night.
Welcome to the Busy Girls Book Club. We are a podcast that rates and reviews all of BookTok's most popular books and tells you if you should fit them into your busy schedule, because Lord, is there so many recommendations out there. And, you know, we can't fit them all in the schedule, except we'll try and we'll tell you whether or not you should. With that, I'm Catherine.
I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Casey. Today, we are reviewing a dark fantasy that has had kind of a long life. It's a little bit older, but it's still super popular. It's called, did I say the name already? It's called One Dark Window by Rachel Gillig. But the story follows main character Elspeth in sort of this fantasy world where there are magic cards, and the cards are considered the safe form of magic, but a person can also be infected with magic. But the infection is like outlawed, basically. So if you get it, your family is supposed to turn you in, and the king essentially kills you because it's like abhorrent. They're against it. People who are infected get these magical powers. They're seen as like unpredictable, and no one wants them to like accidentally spread this illness. And all of this traces back to this like really old lore with a king and this like magical goddess, evil goddess figure in the woods. So Elspeth is someone who has been infected, but who has been hidden with her family. And she ends up kind of stumbling onto this like little tiny resistance movement. And there's also a romance, and she's trying to save her own life because those who have been infected with magic degenerate. And as I'm rambling on, I'm realizing how much is in this book. Elspeth, the big thing about her infection, the magic she was left with, is that she can like basically take in the essence of these magical cards, and she touches the nightmare card. So she has this nightmarish creature living in her head with her, who is like always talking to her and who can kind of lend her his powers when she's in danger. So yeah, and that's only the start.
Yeah, she's got a voice in her head, y'all.
Everyone was reading this book, so part of me didn't want to. And I'm so glad I finally caved. Do you guys have reviews?
Of course. More than one.
So go for it, Casey.
Actually, do I only have one today? Okay.
Is that a miracle? One.
Oh my God. It is a miracle. I thought I had two, but I must have decided.
Oh my God.
Wow. Okay. So it's a 1-star review. It says, if I wanted to read a book with stupid rhyming poems every chapter, I would read Dr. Seuss, and it would be much more interesting, substantial, and serious than this. The dude's name is Raven, bruh.
Oh my God. I saw so many reviews doxing that name. They were just like, no.
I did too. Okay. I'll follow you up with a 3.75. I was not a fan of the nightmare and all the talking and rhyme. The magic was interesting, I guess. The female MC was sort of annoying, but damn it, it ended on a cliffhanger, so number 2 is already downloaded.
I feel that so hard.
The rhyme thing, yeah. But here's the one I liked the most. 4 stars. Rebecca Yarros is frothing at the mouth for this actually good, dark inner monologue trope.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Shots fired.
Wow. Okay, like I have a 1-star review, and it was a long one, but she did 1 short one and 1 long one. So she started off with like, I have a smart review and a dumb review. So I'm going to read the dumb review.
Love it.
Sentence. Yeah. So she separated them. So at the bottom of the review, it says, and now here's my short dumb review. Reading One Dark Window made me feel like one dumb bimbo for picking it up. LOL.
Thanks for continuing the rhyming trend, I guess.
I know.
Life
really had an effect.
But 1 star.
Goodreads and Amazon do not agree. The overall Goodreads rating, 4.3 out of 5. Amazon, 4.5 out of 5. This book has been reviewed so many times. I did see one review that was like, am I reading a different book than the other 78,000 people who have reviewed this? Because I hated it. But I was like, that's so many reviews. What did you guys write it?
I'm going to preface my reading because I read this when it like basically first came out. So like I read it January 2023 and I'd gotten it for Christmas from my parents December 2022. So I don't remember what headspace I was in, but I don't think it was a good one at that time. I think I just finished an SJM book, so I was in a rut. And so I gave it 3 stars on Goodreads. But when I'm thinking back to it...
You were talking about this book when you read it.
Uh-huh.
You liked it. I can't believe
it. Oh, no, I liked it. I liked it, but I didn't love it. I rated the second book higher. I think I rated it 4 stars in the second book. I think the reasons why I didn't love the first book was I'm a political junkie. I needed more of the politics of the nation or the town. I felt like the king was kind of like a... He was just kind of like a caricature of a king. Like he was just obviously bad, just bad, bad. And I wanted more.
The King in Throne of Glass.
Yeah, I know. But I wanted more morally gray. Throne of Glass eventually went morally gray. So I wanted more politics. I wanted more morally gray. I felt like it was lacking depth that I was wanting in fantasy after reading some very deep fantasy books. So I gave it 3. I'm probably closer to a 3.5 or 4 if I'm thinking back on it now.
I'm gonna go next because I'm actually don't know how Casey's gonna fall. So
I was like, they're holding their breath, they're shaking.
I know. I'm just let's see where you fall after this. We're all always most excited for Casey's star rating
on fantasies and romantic comedies. Yes.
I gave this 5 stars and immediately read the second book. You know me, a dark fantasy. I'm so easy to please. Dark, sexy, brooding man. So the magic system, I think, was so unique and so well explained that I really appreciated it. I really liked the main character and a lot of the supporting cast. Despite what all the reviews say, freaking loved The Nightmare. I love trying to figure out who or what he was. I loved his little rhymes in her head that she's just like suppressing from the outside world and how no one in this book is like a hero. I don't know. I'm sorry. I loved it. Okay, Casey, rip me apart.
Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
I gave it 4 stars.
Oh my gosh.
God, that's like a 10 from Casey.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
I really
Catherine
didn't...
was the low one?
Yeah, 3. I was like, oh my god. So I did give the book major points for the magic system. I really liked the magic system. And I also really liked the nightmare. I thought the idea of a character really being forced to like live with another person in their head and then like getting all these really strange side effects because of that and like the fact that she had kept it a secret and not anyone knew, like not her family, even the people who knew she had been infected. I did figure out really early on, like who the nightmare was.
Oh, yeah.
I was really proud of myself.
Same.
Oh my God. I never pick up on stuff like that. So I was like, oh my God, I was so proud of myself. But yeah, I thought it was really fascinating. However, like Catherine said, I did want a lot more politics than it gave. I thought the world in all was really small. Like the magic system was really big, but the world was really small. And I liked the supporting characters, but I just wanted them to go a lot farther with the magic system. So like Elspeth has this power and we really only see her use it with like one card. And I really wanted more. I wanted to like experiment more with her power and her magic. And so those are the things that like are the reason why it's not a 5-star read, but I really did enjoy it. I liked the romance. I liked the magic. I liked the world.
Yeah. I felt like the supporting characters were not memorable at times. And that's where
that
I stopped
true.
Points where I remembered the core cast, but I don't remember any of the supporting characters.
don't know, like Raven and all his family are pretty memorable.
But I just remember Raven. I don't remember anyone else.
His sister.
Not Raven.
His cousin, the prince.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew
Raven that. Was the only memorable
her
one.
Cousin. Right?
Mm-hmm. Her cousin, yes, I remembered her. But like, she's a yeah. core cast, I would say.
Anyway, I'm also, well, we'll get into this question. Would you read other books by the author?
I don't think we answered plot or character driven.
No, we'll get back to that. But okay. To make my point, I read the second one. I read it immediately afterwards. So I kind of read them as one big story. And I feel like the supporting cast shines a little more in the second book. So my perspective on them is skewed.
Yeah, 100% agree. I read the second book as soon as it came out. So the first book didn't deter me from reading the second, and the cliffhanger definitely made me want to read the second. But I read the second book a year after the first book because that's when it came out, was a year later. So I enjoyed
reading them back to back was wild.
Yeah, I feel like I would have enjoyed it a lot more if I read it back to back. But it ended on a cliffhanger. I felt like there was not a lot of depth. I loved the magic system and how deep it was, but the world was not deep. The characters, I didn't feel were super deep. Like, Raven was kind of deep, and then Elspeth was deep because you're in her head. And the Nightmare was phenomenal. Loved that. Like,
That's what I was going to say. The Nightmare was the iconic morally great character. Yeah.
Like, I love Nightmare.
Iconic. Oh, I'm obsessed.
I love the rhyming. I don't know why people didn't. I actually
liked it. No, okay. So about half of the rhymes I liked. The other half made me deeply cringe. Like, deep cringe.
But so many of them dropped clues.
Yeah.
Yeah. That were important.
That's true.
To how, like, all the we'll get into this later. But the cards seem really great at first, and they're not. Like, there's a drawback to every, you know, every book has the theme. Magic has a cost. So it gets into that, and I really liked how the rhymes played into that. Back to the question, well, I guess, do you want to answer the other the question I answered and skipped, or do you want to go back to plot or character driven?
What do you mean? Like, have you read other books by the author?
I mean, Casey hasn't. Is she going to read book two?
I'd read book two.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
I liked it better than the first book. So.
It goes places I did not expect.
Not at all. I did not see any of it coming.
Dang. Intriguing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Plot or character driven?
Plot.
Yeah, it's plot. Because technically Nightmare is not the main character, but he's in the main character's head. So, yeah. But yeah, plot.
It's plot. She like gets figured out, and that's kind of what starts everything. Yeah. Leads her to this small rebellion and the dark, sexy man and all the things.
Okay. Pacing. How was it? How long did it take y'all to read it? Because I don't remember. I think it took me 2 or 3 days, but.
I think I read both books in 2 or 3 days.
That's wild. Okay.
What I'm telling you, this was like a refresh I needed. I was in such a slump when I picked this up, and like a fantasy slump. I think I just needed this in the moment. It hit,
yeah.
It right where it should have at the right time.
Yeah, it took me like 5 days, I think. But I was moving apartments in between there. So I have had a very chaotic schedule with work and personal life. So yeah, I didn't have a problem with the pacing. I always wanted to pick it back up.
Okay. Would you watch a TV show or movie about this book?
I almost worry about a TV show or movie because I could totally see it going teen. Mm-mm. And that scares the crap out of me.
No,
that's what I was going to say. This book gives Leigh Bardugo to me. And I really don't like what they did with her books when they converted it.
I personally think they burned them, but not everybody thinks that.
No, I agree.
I hated the TV series.
Yeah.
I agree. I'd be worried they'd make it a little too teen. But I would be intrigued to see the magic system enough that I would maybe try it.
If a production company could pull off the Nightmare, I'm all in.
Oh my God. There are so many versions of that, though, where they make him look so just like
I just
funny.
I don't
and
even
want to
see him behind beyond flashlight.
Like just having like Morgan Freeman voice in head, like that would be terrible. Like,
oh,
no.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. No, if they could figure out how to do that correctly, like I'm sold on a movie. But if it's a CW show, I'm out.
That's what I'm exactly thinking that it would be.
Yes, we're all seeing the same vision and we're not liking it.
And I feel like actually, if you did it, I would put both books in one movie.
That would be so hard to do, though, because it's so long.
I would just hammer it out.
Yeah, I could see it happening, but it would be a lot.
Anyway, as always, we're giving opinions on things when we're not TV or movie producers. And I'm not to bring up A24 this episode, but
I know. I was like, I'm going to stay quiet. I'm not going to say it.
Yeah.
I bit my tongue.
I mean, I would, depending on who does it, I would watch the movie or TV show.
So it was the caveat. We got to find a new way to like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's fair. Like CW ruins fan bases.
Some people have broken our trust.
Yes. Many times.
Did I still watch all of the 100? Yeah.
Oh, no. Anyway. So what is y'all's busy girl rating?
I give it a
5 from me, folks.
A 5 from Caitlin. Yeah, I give it
I was going to say that. That's why I just spit it out.
You know, I think I'm going to give it a 5.
Wow.
Catherine's so low again.
I know. I love this. I can't even take not being the hater. I'm like, what is this feeling?
It's not even being a hater.
It's like on my side.
Welcome to the dark side.
It's the iron number. Like, same side.
Almost always me versus Caitlin with Catherine playing devil's advocate.
If this tells you anything, guys,
you should read it. Yeah, I think that tells you. Yeah.
I thought it was good. I thought it was solid. It was. You know, it definitely is like very traditional fantasy, but it had enough uniqueness to set it apart for me. Good pacing. None of the characters annoyed me. It's not my new personality. Like the books, I give 5 stars, but I'm intrigued enough to keep reading. So I think it's a good busy girl choice.
I think this is a great gateway fantasy book.
Oh, agree. Mm-hmm. I think it explains the magic system in a rudimentary basis. You don't need any other previous fantasy knowledge in order to get into this book. Like, you can just go in blind, which I feel like that's the problem with fantasy is they take off tropes of other fantasy and then don't explain them.
Mm-hmm.
This one is so different from everything else, and it's a magic system that we've never seen before, so they have to explain everything. And they explain it almost elementary level.
Yeah, and because it's not a huge world, it's really digestible.
Yeah, it's a town. That's it.
Yeah, it's like a little kingdom.
Wonder. Easy to understand.
Wonder, I know.
That was a terrible name. I'm sorry, Rachel.
It is, but also like made me, I was like, yep. Also, okay, this is a side comment. Before we get into, we can just go to spoiler alerts, I guess. I don't know. Did you write a question on how everything has tree names?
Yes, I did.
Okay, I haven't read ahead. Never mind. Spoiler alert, we're going to answer Catherine's questions now.
Okay, we're gonna just
too excited about this book. I really, really like this book.
Okay, we're just gonna skip ahead. I think it's like my 5th or 6th question, but yeah, the king's descendants and the king is Rowan.
There it is.
Yeah, they're the Rowans, and then they rule everything. But then every other family is named after trees. What did y'all think of this? Like the royal families are all named after trees. What'd you think?
I thought it was a great way to try and keep track of people, first of all. It gave, like, you know, in Game of Thrones, you know, Stark versus, you know, Tyrell or whatever you're going for, Baratheon, you know. Anyway, so you know who is who, but also because their whole magic system comes from the spirit in the woods, I thought it was really interesting. Also, it comes into play later a little more.
In the second book, it really comes into play, which is hard not to talk about. So we're not going to. But yeah, no, it makes more sense in the second book. In the first book, it felt a little kitschy. I'm not going to lie.
It did. But I kind of liked the kitschy because it's this town that's cut off from everything. So like, well, we're cut off. Let's name our families after trees.
Yeah, I did think it was kitschy, but it didn't bother me. It was just more like along the lines of the rhymes where occasionally I'd be like, all right, that's a little cringe, but we're just going to keep going.
But it, like, between the rhymes and that kind of stuff, it was definitely giving, like, Brothers Grimm, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. Very fairy tale inspired.
Yeah.
Extremely fairy tale inspired.
Dark fairy tale.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of the magic system, and we've already kind of talked about it, what did you think of the cards? Was it understandable, digestible? Did you like the card-based system and that's how people get magic? What did you think about the magically infected people? And then how about the town surrounded by mist of blunder?
I really, like we've all said, the magic system is so unique. No one has done something like this. They're almost like tarot cards, but they're not. I mean, they are, but they aren't. But there's like a certain number of each card, which I thought was interesting. So how rare a card was determined things. And like you wanted to create a complete deck, but there's only one of like the one card. And so I don't know. I think the concept, like the stakes were laid out correctly. I liked it more when we started realizing that each card sounded really great, but also had a huge drawback to using it. So I appreciated that there was, you know, it wasn't just like, oh, I have this magic pack because I have a card in my pocket.
Yeah. I'm just gonna comment this before you answer, Casey. I immediately thought Pokemon. Started reading Donna Ketchum.
Do not besmirch this book, Catherine.
That's why I rated 3 stars, because it felt so like tarot Pokemon based.
I'm sorry. Oh my.
I did see another review that also compared it to Pokemon. So you're not the only one.
Move Catherine from the Zoom call. I am so upset by that comment.
I mean, it is sort of like, you know, those kids that would play like Naruto card games in the cafeteria.
Yu-Gi-Oh!
There we go.
Except these are evil old white men who are collecting cards to destroy everyone.
I liked the fact that like the Rowans were actively rewriting history, and they were othering the magically infected, and they were really gatekeeping magic. Like, I liked that part of it. And I liked the magic system as itself, like the cards give you power. But the whole idea of collecting the deck, I was like, why am I thinking Pokemon the entire time? Why am I thinking Yu-Gi-Oh cards? And why are these tarot cards like Pokemon?
Yeah.
So hey, you're giving me such a dead face right now.
I refuse to participate any further on this topic. We're done.
Anyway, Casey.
So, I mean, I've already kind of commented on like the stuff that I liked, so now I'm going to comment on the thing that I didn't like. My one nitpick in the magic system is I don't always think the author was keeping track of like who had what card and like how many there were of some of the lesser cards, because like some of the ones like the Black Knight cards, I was like, why does fucking everyone on earth have a Black Knight card?
Because there were a lot of those ones.
But even the cards that had the most, I think there was only 12 or something like that. And yeah. So I was kind of like,
and all the King's guards had.
Anyway.
This was a small city. I wasn't thinking like a small kingdom. I was like, there aren't that many people. His whole guard is probably 12 people.
Maybe. I don't know. I just felt like sometimes there were just like cards floating around and everyone had some. And I was like, okay.
Well, why does everyone have cards? I'm typically skipping through the story like, la, 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 la.
But I did like the concept of like people being infected. I liked that they got these special powers, and I really liked the sort of theme of like everything has a cost. Like it was very consistent in the book, and I liked how the author used that to sort of like create surprising consequences. So.
Well, I especially liked the maiden.
No, you don't get to talk about those.
I'm going to defend you. I liked the maiden card. The maiden card was the most interesting card for me.
Fact.
Because of it's given to Elspeth's cousin, which her name is escaping me right now. Like Aurella.
Ione,
I think. I could be wrong.
Or are we thinking about Akatar?
What am I thinking about Akatar? No, I think that's
right. It's Ione. I swear.
Yeah, Ione. She gets a maiden card because, like, her family gives the king the nightmare card.
And trades her away.
And trades her away, essentially. But she's happy about this because she's getting power. She's getting what she wanted. She wanted to be a princess. But once she's given the maiden card, she realizes Elsbeth realizes the consequences, and we learn through Elsbeth how she's been changed and manipulated, and she's losing herself. She's become this beautiful, flawless person, but she has no soul almost. She has no empathy. She has no sense of self. She becomes vain. She becomes like all vanity, which I thought was so interesting.
Yeah, like beautiful on the outside, empty on the inside.
Yes. I really liked it too, how like Elsbeth like loved all those things about her that were disappearing. And it was like, you know, real commentary about how like, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and you can become quote unquote perfect, but you lose all the things about yourself that make you unique. Oh, so sad.
And I guess I'm just sad because it was her only friend.
I will say shout out to book two, because Ione becomes such a big character in book two, and that's discussed even more, which is phenomenal. So
minor spoiler, but she's like the main character in book two.
She's almost the main character, yeah.
Not quite, but like,
oh my god, like, yeah. I'm intrigued.
It's cool. It's really cool.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, book two. I'll just guess. This is not where I thought. It's totally different than what you normally get from the layout of even a duology. So,
yeah.
Speaking of Ione and Elsbeth, Elsbeth is removed from her own family home. Wicked stepmother trope. What do you think about her family dynamics and living with her cousins and everything that comes with that?
Elsbeth definitely had a very typically disappointing fairy tale family. Evil stepmother, rotten step siblings, a dad who's, you know, very kind-hearted but doesn't really stand up for her. Their relationship is broken. And then her adopted family is similar. Like, her uncle is sort of this, like, mysterious, like, somewhat evil. Yeah. It's just like sort of power absent.
Hungry. Yeah, absolutely.
Power hungry person. But her aunt also doesn't really have a backbone and like lets a lot of things happen.
She's so dumb, but she's nice.
Yeah, but was a good mom, like good mother figure.
Right. They protect her.
It's very fairy tale, I feel, to have that sort of like disappointing family.
It's the epitome of fairy tale. You are correct.
Yeah.
It's the epitome of fairy tale, but I think it takes a twist by going darker, where it's her uncle basically trades his daughter for power and wealth and trading in this nightmare card. And then that's how she gets nightmare in her head, obviously, is touching a nightmare card. So I think there's an interesting commentary there about power and wealth and needing prestige and power.
Yes. So Elsbeth has this nightmare who is like, honestly, sort of like a quirky pal. Like, he kind of like chooses his moments to chime in.
Yep.
And sometimes he's like very funny and like sarcastic. And other times he's just like speaks in these like weird riddles and refuses to like tell the truth. How would you have handled having a co-pilot to your life in your head?
I would have done exactly what she did and not tell anyone. Like, if I had someone talking in my head that was like a man who's like called Nightmare, it's like your worst self.
Okay, she calls him Nightmare. He never told her a name.
But like, he let that happen.
Yeah. I can't keep secrets, that kind of thing. Like, personally, about me, I will tell my mom or sister inevitably, so...
I felt that I would have kept it a secret until I was discovered. So she keeps it a secret well into the novel, like until like the end. But I think the second that Raven confronted me, I would have just confessed the whole truth and just told the whole thing.
Nah, I would have kept that shit quiet.
Well, I would be afraid. My bestie Ione would have known about it.
Well, okay, maybe Ione would have known about it, but I would be too afraid of being killed for that. Because, like, to tell people that you have a talking voice in your head, like, you're going to get sent to a mental hospital, and that doesn't exist here, so you're just going to be sent into the mist.
Yeah.
Part of me thinks the people in the mist were living a better life.
Part of me thinks that, too.
I do want to referencing the Rebecca Yarros review I read, The Nightmare for a while really does give Tarn.
Yes.
The dry humor, sass. However, The Nightmare gets so much more complex. And I do appreciate that. While that review was spicy, it has some credibility. Well, I love, you know, I love Fourth Wing. I love it. But The Nightmare is incredibly written. I'm sorry if you are the people that hate the rhyming. It played perfectly into his character.
Yes.
It's a fairy tale. There are rhymes.
Yeah, it's a dark fairy tale fantasy.
The reveal, or one of the reveals, is that he is in fact the Shepherd King of Fame, of which their entire society is based off of his reign, based off of his barter with magic, based off of this book, which sort of becomes like a Bible equivalent. It's like their religion to like study it and talk about it. And his disgusting, ugly soul lives in Elspeth's head. What did you think of that reveal and just sort of the themes in general of all the bad that the cards that this man created have done?
Love that. Learning what he gave up to create each card slowly, which continues into the second book, but learning those added just like another layer to this person in her head. So you're getting to know her as you're getting to know the magic system, and not her, but like the person in her head, I guess, but sort of becomes part of her, you know. Anyway, I obviously, like, we all kind of figured out the Shepherd King thing, and I think it was laid there for us to realize so that we could kind of have that sense of anxiety. It's like, we know who it is. Elspeth, come on, figure it out. You've had him there forever. Like, figure it out, girl. I just loved how he was like, hold on, let me kill someone for you real quick, help you out. And it's very interesting. Just so I can't get over the nightmare.
Because he's not bad or evil per se. He's morally gray. Like,
so their thing.
He's trying to help her, but his way of help is not helpful. And it's also violent. And he uses that as an in to take over her. And that's very interesting. And the fact that his soul still lives in this card is like an interesting take on like how much he gave up to make these cards. And the fact that he's been dead hundreds of years, but he could still be soul bound to these cards. And because of Elspeth's magically infected power, she is the host of him now. And that's super fascinating and super interesting. But also, we're finding out throughout this book, and you find out more of it in the second book, but in this book, we're kind of seeing the cracks in the Rowan story, because they take over power post Shepherd King. And then while his word is the Bible, it's a rewritten Bible. It's been redone by the Rowans, and the Shepherd King alludes to it in his myths and rhymes in Elspeth's head of like, things are not what they seem. The stories you've been told are not what actually happened. I may be morally gray and corrupt, but I didn't do some of the stuff that the Rowans are alleging I did. And it kind of brings in this narrative of how powerful people can, if you can control the books and control the religion, you can control the narrative of the whole world.
Side note, what did you think about him giving her the power to like see who had cards?
So
convenient or clever?
Clever.
I think clever. I did not think it was too convenient.
No,
because it's set up so early, and it's like part of her whole thing from the beginning, which keeps it from feeling too like easy. You know, it's not a surprise.
No, I agree. And it feels like he's seeing pieces of himself, you know? So
he created them.
It doesn't feel, I magically have this power, you know?
No, the reason in the beginning.
The reasons all make sense. Because like you said, he gave up parts of himself to create the cards. Also at that point, I'm sorry, the Twin Alders card gave me so much intense anxiety throughout this book. As they're like trying to collect the deck, and they're like, we're going to collect the deck, we're going to collect the deck. I was like, you don't know where this last card is, and no one does. How are you going to find it? I was like panicking.
Yeah, how'd you feel at the end?
You know, the ending certainly committed. And I respect it for that. I did not appreciate the cliffhanger.
But how do you feel about the Twin Owls at the end? Still anxious?
I did kind of see it coming. I knew it had to be something like that. So I was just kind of like, here we go.
Mm-hmm. You alluded to, well, we're not there yet. Let's talk about Raven before we get to the resolution of the story, or non-resolution, I guess.
It's not really a resolution.
The opposite of a resolution is the ending of this book. Raven, he kind of figures out Elspeth and kind of gets her to confess that she can see cards. She doesn't talk about the nightmare to him, but, and then they sort of enemies to lovers, close proximity, slow burn. I don't know what you want to call it.
No,
it's stereo. I don't know. Elspeth trusts no one because of her secret, but she starts to trust Raven. And it's a cute little dark romance. So Raven is the captain of the King's Guard, the captain of Disdryers, but is also trying to save his brother, who's deteriorating rapidly where Elspeth isn't. Then you find out that Raven himself is infected. And, you know, the cousins of the king are hiding all of this from them, except the king knows about his brother, and so he's trying to save him before the king uses his brother to sacrifice him to unite the deck. This man has a complicated situation, made more complicated by this girl with the secret voice in her head. What do you think of our dark, brooding knight?
You know, I really liked him. I have discovered that dark, brooding warriors with who are really like softies on the inside is just like my type. Like,
absolutely.
I love me a Cassian. I love me a Rowan. So this just hit the nail on the head for me. I was like, yes.
Wrong Rowan, not the Rowan from this book.
Oh, no, not the Rowan from this book.
Yeah. Throne of Glass Rowan. So yeah, he's the same like captain of the guard. That's like my favorite role for all my boys, and soft on the inside.
Really? Kale Westfall?
Okay, not Kale. But Rowan, you know, Rowan was also a captain of Maves, whatever, and, you know.
The cadre?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about Raven, the polar opposite, his cousin, who ends up being a crown prince, part of the rebellion?
I honestly,
like Sunshine and Rainbow Man.
I liked him. Like, I normally don't like Sunshine Rainbow Men, but he had such dry humor, and like he could see the world because he's the second born. I think that makes it.
Yeah, he's jaded.
So he is the spare. And when you're the spare, you are not treated the same as the heir. And the heirs. I know. Sorry. Casey's having flashbacks to when we had to read Spare. But anyway. But Hoth is a horrible human being. He's the heir. He's been coddled and treated like the king his whole life. So he is like literally a psychopath, sociopath, who believes he is entitled to everything, including Elspeth's cousin, and treats her horribly. But I was so curious about his younger brother because Elm is because he's ignored, so he can do whatever he wants. And so he learns from observation of his family and says, you know, you people are not great. And then he meets Raven, his cousin, throughout time, and they form this kinship, and he sees how deeply the king's policies have impacted Raven and his family that he turns against his father. And I could believe that, but he also has to play this like debonair prince because he has to play a part. And so it's very interesting to me to see that. But I also liked Raven and him being brooding and having this deep familial tie. I didn't totally trust him because I was like, you have too many connections. You have too many things that can be used against you. And that's too many loose ends.
So I really liked Elm because he's the only one who's really skeptical of Elspeth. But he's like speaking truth.
Surprisingly, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, everyone should be asking these questions. Like, this girl is not doing a very good job of hiding her secret powers. And for someone who, like, you know, they're all committing treason, and he's the only man who seems to care that you can all get murdered for this. Like, I was like, thank you, someone, for pointing it out.
Yeah, Ellen was the voice of reason for everyone.
Which was so funny because they set up his character to be kind of like the swaggering, blonde,
dumb, useless prince. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a facade that he puts on in order to hide the part of him that is more calculating and observant.
I also like how Raven's sister fits into like the rest of this posse. They become the cutest little posse. I love them.
Oh, yeah. Right.
They're not cute. They're like badass, but I just love them.
I just love that they become outlaws at night and stealing cards from people. Like, that's just, love it.
The way I talk about my dog is the way Caitlin talks about this band of thieves and murderers.
Love me a good band of thieves and murderers. It's my comfort. My comfort.
Put it on a t-shirt.
Yeah. Add it to the list. Okay. What we've all been waiting for. The cliffhanger. We find out that Elspeth is in fact deteriorating, just not in the way most people do. That every time she uses the nightmare's strength, she loses herself a little bit more to the nightmare. And she gets attacked in the end and has to give up the last bit of herself to survive. And then it ends.
So I loved that this book committed, because they always come in at the last second and it's like, no, they don't have to do the hard thing. And I was like, you have to make your character do the hard thing. And they made her do the hard thing. But it sucks that it ends there, because then you're like, what happens to her? Like, how does she survive? What does this really mean for her? How is she going to like recoup her humanity somehow? It's just really fascinating.
Imagine that and having to wait a year to find out the next part.
Painful.
I really hope you read the next one, Casey, because it does the hard thing still.
Yep.
Like, just everything that normal authors would chicken away from, it tackles it. And I was so impressed. Like, reading the second book made me like the first one more. And that's hard to do because I really like the first one.
Yes. Agreed.
Wow.
But that's why I talk about it so highly during this episode, is like, when I first read it, I was like, yeah, that was a great book. And then I read the second, I was like, oh my gosh.
It's
that is a great book.
No, I think the transformation, I liked the ending of this book when I read it, because I was curious about it. I was mad about the cliffhanger, obviously, because I had to wait a whole ass year. But her fully transforming into him and her being locked up and her, well, I just love that she basically put Hoth into a coma, because I was like, yeah, kill him. Woo.
So she's like all about herself the whole book. Like, I gotta protect myself, gotta protect myself. And then she's finally like, the only way to stop this terrible, terrible person from ruining the whole kingdom is to let myself go.
Yeah.
So heartbreaking.
It was. And you're like, Raven's almost there. Raven's almost there. And then
not quick enough.
So
I was okay with it, because I thought Nightmare was an interesting enough character in himself that I don't think he's going to take over her body and then take over the world. Like, I don't think that. I think that he has an agenda, and I'm curious to see what that agenda leads to.
He wants a second chance and he wants revenge. That's how I interpreted it. And I'm so interested. And again, even though the ending was crushing, I loved it, because she did the hard thing.
Right.
And you should do the hard thing.
It's intriguing because you know he's not good.
But he's not bad.
But come to trust him through Elspeth.
Yes. Because part of what makes him so angry is the way his good deeds were twisted.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not full of just good deeds and charity. And like, his plans were like woefully misguided. But you can also see his intention and how mad he is that others have corrupted his vision.
Well, right. His legacy has been usurped by the Rowans and twisted and turned into their legacy. And so he has been essentially written out as a human and is just a figurehead of darkness and evil almost, but then also gave them all this magic.
And he's had hundreds of years to think about it. You know, sit and think about what you've done. He's done it. He's sat and thought about it, you know, and he's now ready to act.
Yeah.
Right. Catherine didn't have a Taylor Swift reference, so I figured I needed to.
There you go.
Yep. Look what you made me do. Okay.
Reputation era coded for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Oh,
yeah. Well, not much else to say because it is a cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm.
But do you have book recommendations?
I mean, besides,
I'm gonna jump. Yeah,
second one.
I am going to jump on it and recommend one of my fave fantasies, of course, Serpent in the Wings of Light. Because
not the second one.
Not the second one. The Reverse Effect, if you two are to be believed. Yeah, I mean, that book ending really crushed me. It was full of twists and it did the hard thing. And so that's why I'm going to recommend it again.
I'm going to go a totally different direction, but stay in the dark fantasy, morally gray, no heroes realm, and a really popular series, Caraball. It's unique. It's the whole premise of the book is like, don't believe what you see. Nothing is real. Like, or is it, you know? And so there's kind of these forces guiding things that you can't see. Like the nightmare almost, but not, just dark and sinister. And who do you trust? Who do you not trust? Yeah. And it's maybe like, nah, it's still pretty dark. I was going to say maybe a little light. It's technically YA, I think. So
there you go. I'm going to recommend Divine Rivals because it's a duology, but also the first book does the hard thing where, you know, I'm not going to go into it because that would be a spoiler, but I think it's within the same realm of fantasy, but also a little bit darker. And I think it doesn't focus on fairy tales, but more feels like 1940s era-esque, but it's a different world, different time. But
it's got a lore, though.
It's got a lore, and it's got a magic system. And I think they delve into the world a lot more in that one. But no shade to this book. It's just a different vibe. But I think if you like this book, you'll like that one.
Nice. Good recs. Well, these are just our opinions. We want you guys to disagree. Even if you disagree, you should rate and review this podcast 5 stars. And then you should slide into our DMs and tell us why we're wrong. At Busy Girls Pod pretty much everywhere. Don't forget to hit us up and hit us up on our website where you can see our book recommendations.
Yeah. Busygirlspod.com. Come and watch us and, you know, give us 5 stars. And with that, I'm Catherine.
I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Casey. Thanks for listening. And you get a chance to take a break with the Busy Girls Book Club.